Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events related to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Hi, Polygamy, What Love Is This? My name is Doris Hansen. I'm your host for the program. And we talk about polygamy here, both in early Mormon culture as well as present-day polygamy and everything in between. We are a live telephone television show, and we are a call-in program. We invite your telephone calls a little bit later in the program. We'll open up the phone lines, and you're welcome to call in with your questions and your comments and your opinions about the contents of our show and about polygamy. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20. It's 801-973-8820. If you would rather communicate with us and give us your opinions by email, we'd love to hear from you that way as well. And our email address is tv@aboutpolygamy.com. For all of our new viewers tonight, we'd like to welcome you, and we're glad you're watching. We do this every Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m., and we hope that you enjoy it and that you will join us again in the following weeks. If you would like to watch any of our previous programs, there's many of them to see. You can go on to our website, whatloveisthis.tv, and watch any of our previous shows on streaming video. That's whatloveisthis.tv. We do have a monthly discussion group in the Salt Lake area for those who have been or are currently in polygamy. And we would like to welcome you to this discussion group. We're going to hold our next group meeting on this following Monday on the 21st of September at 6:30. We'd love to have you come. It's been beneficial to many people who come. It's non-confrontational. We treat everybody with the dignity that they deserve. And it's been so helpful to so many people. I know there's a lot of fear when people have left polygamy or even still in it to talk with people on the outside of the groups. But these discussion groups have been very helpful. And so we do invite you to come, and we hope that you would do so. If you are in a polygamy group and you would like some help, or you just have some questions that you would like us to answer, go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org. You can find out more about us. You can find our contact page and write down all of our contact information. And if you need help or questions or have a difficulty, you can call our toll-free number. It's 877-425-9993 and give us a call. If you're in a polygamy group and you have perhaps a polygamous marriage upcoming in the near future or maybe the not so near future, would you give me a call before you go into that union? Once you make that decision and once you've done that, you have changed your life forever. And I would love to talk to you first. Just give us a chance to talk to you first, before you go into that marriage. Again, the number is 877-425-9993. Next week, we are going to talk about myth number 13. And these myths, of course, are the false stories that have been told to excuse the early Mormon practice of polygamy. I'm going to read some more emails from our viewers, and I'm going to answer a telephone call that begs the question, is it polygamy or adultery for a Mormon man to have an affair? We're going to be talking about Christian polygamy. We've had several questions about that, and emails questioning the validity of Christians practicing polygamy, so I'm going to talk about that as well. And on October 8th, I would like you to know that we're going to have a special program where we're going to do a memorial tribute to a man who was born and raised in the Kingston Polygamy Group. He left, and there was a lot of shunning that went along with his leaving. And just recently, he died of cancer. He left behind a wife and children, and there was some controversy even surrounding the love of his family during these services. And so we're going to just do a tribute to this man, Charlie Kingston, on October 8th. I think that you'll enjoy the information that we're going to bring out. And on future shows, we're going to talk about the righteousness that pleased God. We're having so many phone calls about that recently. I'm going to bring the Bible to bear on this. And in one of the shows in the future, we're also going to talk about becoming gods and what you're going to do in heaven, because you're not going to become a god. It seems to concern so many people, which really we need to be concerned about what we're doing here, not what we're going to do there then. But at any rate, we're going to talk about that in the future. We do have a lot of telephone callers asking questions about why we do what we do, and they seem to attack us because they claim that we're attacking Joseph Smith, who restored the gospel, they say. During one of these telephone calls, we had an anonymous caller who advised that our viewers would read early Mormon history and that they would also read commentaries written by non-Mormons. Now, I would wholeheartedly agree with our anonymous caller here. That is very good advice. God even said that we're to study to show ourselves approved. And if you study both sides of an issue, you're going to come closer to the truth than just studying one side of the issue. And to study early Mormon history and non-LDS commentaries on this would be very informative. So we suggest that you do this, and I would like to thank our anonymous caller for your suggestion. Another caller called and said that the LDS religion supports the Bible. Actually, the Bible is probably the largest single piece of anti-Mormon literature on the planet, and that would be a very easy statement to prove. A few weeks ago, a caller called and asked, what makes LDS non-Christian? And of course, this goes in with the many phone calls we receive and the conversations that we have on this same subject. But it isn't also an easy answer. You see, the LDS doctrine does not reflect any of the historical biblical Christian doctrine. What the LDS have done is they've gone in and they have redefined what Christianity means and what it is. Just like they've redefined so many of the terminologies that Sandra Tanner and I talked about last week, they've redefined Christianity and then they put themselves right in the center of it and say they're Christians. And yet, at the same time, there's nothing that they believe that you will find in the Bible as reflecting historical Christianity. So, to answer your question, there really isn't very much that is Christian, and most everything that you believe is non-Christian doctrine. It may surprise many of our LDS viewers to learn that the polygamy groups believe in basically the same doctrine as the LDS Church. Now, we've talked about this on previous programs, and I'm sure we'll talk about it even more in the future. There are a few things that maybe are a little bit different between the polygamy groups and the Mormon Church, and I know this upsets the mainstream Mormons extremely much, but it's nonetheless true. It doesn't make it any different. There are not many differences between the two. In fact, I read a comment from a Mormon missionary after he'd returned from his mission, and he was shocked to discover, while he was on his mission, that the polygamists believe the same as the LDS. In fact, in part, this is what he said. I taught a number of people who had left polygamy. What I didn't realize was that they are taught the fundamental principles of the gospel. Now, of course, he's referring to the Mormon gospel, including the Book of Mormon. They read it often and gain a real witness from the Spirit. Now, this surprised the Mormon missionary, but he admitted it, that they believe the same. And they do. I was born and raised in a polygamy group. We read the Book of Mormon. We read the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, Joseph Smith. All of these were the same for us as they are for the mainline Mormon church. I'd like to ask our viewers three questions. Does believing in the Book of Mormon make you a Mormon? If your beliefs are not in the Book of Mormon, can you still be considered as being a Mormon? Or if your beliefs contradict the Book of Mormon and you want to be a Mormon, can you be? Now, I'm sure that we'll have some other comments that we'll be making in the show that you can call in a little bit later and answer your opinion on these questions and the others. But this is what Joseph Smith said about the Book of Mormon. He said it's the most correct book of any book on earth and the keystone of our religion. And a man would get nearer to God by abiding in its precepts than any other book. So, with that in mind, let's see if the religion founded by Joseph Smith fully stands by the precepts of this keystone book. And our special guest to help us do this tonight is Rowney Higley. Rowney and her husband, Dennis, have a teaching ministry. They teach 9 to 12 week courses in the local evangelical churches. In comparing Mormonism and Christianity. They have a website, www.hismen.com, and their email address is hismen@xmission.com. They answer questions sent to them by Mormons as well as others who are interested in understanding the differences. Rowney was a convert to Mormonism, and Dennis, her husband, was a generational LDS. They both served LDS missions. They were married in the Salt Lake Temple, and they faithfully served in the LDS church for about 20 years. Differences between biblical and Mormon doctrine eventually made it necessary for them to leave the Mormon church. Welcome, Rowney, to the show tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. You are full of information, and we're going to drag it out of you.
All right. I hope I am.
I don't know how much we're going to drag, but we're going to. Now, tonight's show is relevant, although our show is mainly based for polygamists. The early doctrines of the Mormon Church and the present doctrines that many of the polygamists believe are so close that when we deal with early Mormonism and Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and the Book of Mormon, it all fits in together like a hand in a glove. So we're going to be relevant tonight to both the polygamist groups and the LDS Church. On your website, you have an article that's entitled, Joseph Smith Didn't Believe in the Book of Mormon, So Why Should You? And that's going to be the basis of our show tonight. Would you explain what that means, and then tell us when you were a convert to Mormonism, was the Book of Mormon used to bring you in, and what do you feel about that now?
Yes, the Book of Mormon actually was the reason why I joined the Mormon Church. But the interesting thing is that later on, when I started studying Mormonism from the Doctrine and Covenants and Burl Craig Price, I found out that the Mormon Church actually doesn't believe anything that is in a Book of Mormon, or actually doesn't teach anything that is in a Book of Mormon. The Mormon doctrine of God, Jesus, salvation, everything is totally different than what the Book of Mormon teaches. So that's why I feel myself that the Book of Mormon is used like a lure, like a bait, to get people into joining Mormon Church, because it doesn't have any of those doctrines that would alert people who have been raised in a Christianity to see that there is something so terribly different. So that's why I think the Book of Mormon, you know, it converted me, because I didn't see, not that my biblical knowledge was much, it really wasn't a whole lot, but yet, you know, it doesn't really differ doctrinally, especially if you are not biblical literate, you know.
If you don't know your Bible.
Yeah.
I heard a story of a woman who had been, I believe they were in the Philippines, and the missionaries had converted her, and she had been a Mormon for a couple of years, and she started to learn about the doctrine of becoming gods. You could become a god and the plurality of gods. And she asked her missionary people, she says, why didn't you tell me this? This isn't what I was taught when you were converting me.
Right.
And they said, well, that's the deeper doctrine. And she said, this is nonsense. And she split. She left.
Yeah.
Because they started teaching her the things that aren't in the Book of Mormon.
Right. Exactly. And when I joined the Mormon Church, all I have first was the Book of Mormon. I asked for the Doctrine and Covenants because I knew they had that. And they said, you have to become a stronger in your faith in Mormonism before you can read that.
Goodness.
I don't know if that's still being done that way, but that's how it was when I converted, so that I couldn't even find out what the real doctrines were. And you can't find any of that in a Book of Mormon, even though it is constantly emphasized that the Book of Mormon is the fullness of the gospel.
They do emphasize that. They, from Joseph Smith on down, they emphasize that the fullness of the gospel, just like Joseph Smith said, is right. in the Book of Mormon
itself. In, you know, and Doctrine and Covenants says the same thing, that the Book of Mormon has a fullness of the gospel. And the Mormon leaders have even explained, Joseph Fielding Smith in the Doctrines of Salvation and Bruce McConkie in Mormon Doctrine, they explain that the fullness of the gospel means that all doctrines necessary for exaltation and salvation in a celestial kingdom are in the Book of Mormon.
Oh,
and yet you can't find one single today's Mormon doctrine in it.
Well, let's take a look at some of these doctrines that they hold precious for the, what they say, the laws and ordinances that lead to salvation that are not in this book that's supposed to have them. The first one would be the doctrine of God.
Right. And the Book of Mormon teaches that God is spirit. And actually it teaches, you know, through and through that God is not a man. It is God is the spirit and there is only one God. But then the Joseph Smith later came up with the doctrine that God was once a mortal man and progressed into godhood. So that's totally opposing the Book of Mormon.
But that was long after he wrote the Book of Mormon, after it had been published.
Yeah, it was. He didn't start that doctrine that God was once a man, at least not publicly, until 14 years after Mormon Church started. So it was 1844, just a couple months before he was killed, that he let the cat out of the bag and said God was once a mortal man like we are.
Isn't that interesting that everybody would have that had died up until the point he revealed the true goodness of God would have not known?
They wouldn't have even known.
And but by reading the Book of Mormon, they wouldn't have known.
They wouldn't have known any of that. And that the, you know, that same time when he said that God was once a mortal man, he also said that you got to learn how to be gods yourselves, same as all gods have done before.
Yeah.
You know, so that doctrine was not known at all, and you still couldn't find any of that in the Book of Mormon.
You know, by definition, you don't learn to be a god. By definition, God learns nothing. He already knows everything. You don't learn how to become a god.
That's absolutely so.
And one step, just one step, a small step away from the truth about God is enough to lead you right straight into hell.
Absolutely.
And that's what they've done.
Absolutely.
And
the same thing about Jesus. See, they have started to teach different things about Jesus than what the Book of Mormon or the Bible teaches.
Well, let's go to the next one on the list that's not in the Book of Mormon, and yet they have taught, the Mormons have taught, that God had parents.
Yes, actually they do teach that it is found in all the major Mormon doctrinal books that God, you know, has parents. Because if he was once a mortal man, of course he had to have parents. Mm-hmm. And that God had to have parents and so forth. So there are progressive gods in a universe. That is the basic Mormon philosophy. Mm-hmm. And that we all, you know, if we go through the Mormon teachings, through the temple marriage, to stay faithful to the end, that we will indeed become God like God is now God.
Mm-hmm. You know, Randy, we talk about this on the show quite frequently about the you can't become a God, and the Bible is very clear that there's only one God. And yet we continue to have emails and phone calls that say how we have a right to become like God. We will become a God, or at least like God, and there are many gods up there and so on. And yet, tell me, what do we say to them when we point out all these verses, especially in Isaiah chapters 42 through 46, where over and over and over again he says there's only one God? They refuse to see those verses and only hang on to what they have been taught that isn't biblical or in the Book of Mormon.
Well, it is. It's just what they have been taught so well, you know, later in the Mormonism, and that is the devil's plan was See, he wanted to become a god.
Right.
And he was the one who introduced Adam and Eve, or actually Eve, enticed her with that idea that mm-hmm. God has held something back from you, but if you do what I tell you to do, then you will become like God. Mm-hmm. And like God is explained in a Mormon doctrinal books that it means that you will become just like God is. You become a creator of the spirit children. You will have spirit children mm-hmm. who will later, they will worship you as their God. So mm-hmm. it's not just like being close to God, but you actually will become a God.
Mm-hmm.
And your wife, mm-hmm. You know, the men believe that their wives will be goddesses and they will have spirit children, mm-hmm. just like they teach that we are spirit children.
And yet it came right straight from Satan's mouth, his actions and his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said Satan can't tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, there's no doubt
that is the very first thing that Satan told the Eve that if he if they obey, and that is a part that is taught in a Mormon temple, so that was a good thing.
That's pretty frightening. excuse me. The next doctrine we want to talk about is that God is married and is a polygamist. That was taught in early Mormonism way down the line, several years. Yeah, you won't find that in the Bible, and you won't find that in the Book of Mormon.
Actually, Book of Mormon speaks strongly against polygamy. It says that it is abominable practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mentioned there many times, so you can't find polygamy or eternal marriage or even any marriage in a Book of Mormon any more than you can find it in a Bible, because Jesus said that in heaven we're not married.
Mm-hmm.
We will be like the angels of heaven are now. We will become the believers in Christ. We're bride of Christ. And there is no marriage in heaven.
Our eternal relationship with him what it's going to be all about.
Exactly.
It's interesting that these and the other doctrines we haven't gotten to yet are not in the Bible. They're not in the Book of Mormon, and yet the people continue to believe, even though they're told that the Book of Mormon is the most
perfect
correct book on the earth, the perfect, and you'll get closer to God by.
Yeah.
And
you know, it is interesting, you know, and that was actually the one of the reasons why I started questioning Mormonism, is that when I worked for the Mormon Church as a translator, one year I was given an assignment to compare the translation of the Book of Mormon, the finished Book of Mormon, to the English to make sure that it was translated correctly. And that's when I started seeing that none of this really is there. So, you know, because we had been married in a temple, we had been told that we will become God and goddess, I will become goddess and Dennis will become God, and we will have eternal increase,
uh-huh.
and we will, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And I started seeing that's not in a Book of Mormon either. None of it.
And that's what first started questioning you
how can you say that it has all the doctrines that are necessary, that the Book of Mormon has all the doctrines necessary for salvation and exaltation in a celestial kingdom, when now it's taught that without temple marriage, without faithful participant, doing work for the dad, all these things, without doing that, you will not get to the celestial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So those things, you know, if you start thinking, it will shake your faith in, what Mormonism really is.
Mm-hmm.
And when people in a church start having questions, and they go to the bishop, they start having doubts. The bishop, the first thing the bishop tells them, read the Book of Mormon and pray. Well, you're not going to find any of those things answers to your problematic questions about why Mormons practice this now. Not going to find them there. So
and so when they read the Book of Mormon and pray, and they don't find them there.
Well, you know, it's actually, the Book of Mormon actually gives them an assurance that there's nothing really that important that could cause them to question. You know, it is...
It just lulls them there.
It lulls them there and lulls them to think that Book of Mormon and Bible agree. Well, they, you know, some areas they do agree, but not really if you understand the Bible
completely.
If you apply
the doctrine, yeah. They don't agree.
Yeah, they don't really. But there is one thing is for sure, that there is none of today's important Mormon doctrines are not found in the Book of Mormon.
You know, back to the polygamy issue, of course, when I first started studying on my journey to Christianity, the first time I found out polygamy was not commanded in the Book of Mormon, I was totally shocked. I was absolutely shocked. And, of course, there's that little verse in Jacob 2:30 that says, if I will raise up seed, then I'll command my people to do so. But it says... It was an abomination. Solomon's and David's concubines and wife were an abomination to God. Then when Joseph Smith wrote the section 132, he said that God used it as righteousness for David and Solomon. Total contradiction between the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants, and of course the Bible as well.
And not only that, but the Doctrine and Covenants section 132 says that once this doctrine has been taught to you, doctrine of polygamy, then you must practice it, otherwise you'll be damned.
That's why
the fundamentalist Mormons, they rather obey their God's command, which they thought that came from Joseph Smith, that it came from God. They rather do that than obey men that say you can't practice it now because of whatever reasons.
Right. And of course, my heart's desire is that the polygamists will study God's word and find out, and they can find out through studying it that God never really would have commanded polygamy, free them up not to have to practice it. And one more thing about that God has parents and that he was married and is a polygamist, and that Jesus was a polygamist. The Deuteronomy 17:17 in the Bible says that the king shall not multiply wives to himself. And I was studying this one time and I realized Jesus is King of Kings. And he never sinned. He was a king. He never would have practiced polygamy.
No.
Even if he had come here to get married and have a family, which he didn't. He came to die. He came to be our Savior. But he would never have lived polygamy because it would have broken the law. And he was totally sinless.
Right.
Okay, the next doctrine that the Book of Mormon doesn't teach, that the Mormons have taught, is that God was married to Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Yes. That is a doctrine that was thought, well, first of all, even Brigham Young, when he started his Adam God doctrine, he also at the same time was saying that Jesus was not begotten by the Holy Ghost, but he was begotten by this God-man who Brigham said was Adam. But even the later Mormon prophets and leaders have agreed with Brigham Young that Jesus was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. Ezra F. Benson was one of them that wrote a book about that, and he said that Jesus was begotten by this God-man, who they call Elohim, that he came to Mary. And then Orson Pratt really elaborated. Orson Pratt was one of the early apostles, both to Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, and he said that that God had to have it. You know, let me see, I even have a quote here. The fleshly body of Jesus required a mother as well as a father. Therefore, father and mother of Jesus, according to the flesh, must have been associated together in a capacity of husband and wife. Hence, the Virgin Mary must have been, for the time being, a lawful wife of God the Father. And a Mormon doctrine says also that Jesus was begotten by the immortal Father, the same way the mortal men are begotten by their mortal fathers. So in other words, Jesus is not virgin born, God with us, but he's taught to be our brother and even brother of Lucifer,
yes,
and brother of everybody,
yes,
created being from the pre-existence, who then is a twice-born son of God.
Right,
Yeah, and physically.
And that is not even verging on the edge of blasphemy.
No,
it is
blasphemy, you know, but you don't find any of that in a Book of Mormon.
Right.
Of course, you don't find it in a Bible either, but it is strictly a Mormon doctrine that is taught today and believed by both fundamentalists,
mm-hmm,
and
the fundamentalists are more verbose about it than the Mormons,
mm-hmm,
are.
Yeah.
But when they talk about Jesus, and I've talked to people who say, oh, they don't believe that, they don't teach that. Well, any time that they say, we believe that Jesus is the literal Son of God,
mm-hmm,
they are saying literal meaning that there was sex in order for them,
absolutely,
to have begotten Jesus.
Yeah, that is taught throughout the Mormon literature from their leaders, apostles, and prophets,
mm-hmm,
that's the only method of having children,
right,
is, you know, both for that means for God. But we are God is not a physical man.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus became a man,
right,
but God is a spirit.
Jesus
said God is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Book of Mormon teaches, and Mormonism today teaches that God is a man.
A man was once a man, that's right. Okay, we'd like to open up our telephone lines now. If you would like to have a question answered by either Rowney or myself, or opinion of what we've been talking about, you're welcome to call in. The number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. Remember to turn your TV down. Once the operator has talked to you and put you on hold, the next voice you'll hear will be mine. And so have your question ready, please. And remember, we are not going to tolerate any more endless, circular, argumentative telephone calls. And so we'd love to hear what you have to say. You can start calling in now. Okay, it looks like we do have a call coming in right now on line two. We have Ann calling from Salt Lake City. Hello, Ann.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air, Ann.
Hi, I just had a question. That place in the New Testament that you mentioned where Jesus said that there is no marriage in heaven, that we're like the angels, you know what I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You had brought that up earlier in this show.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've had people tell me that that is because the Pharisees or the Sadducees that were arguing that point with him and trying to trip him up and saying, well, if this woman married this man and he died, and then she married his brother and he died, and so on. Anyway, I have LDS friends tell me that there is marriage in heaven, that you'd have to get married in the temple and sealed here on this earth. So I just wanted your input on that.
Well, first of all, you know, we were talking of the Book of Mormon. Book of Mormon does not teach any of this thing. It doesn't teach that there is marriage in heaven. It doesn't teach that about the temple, anything about the temple rituals that are done in a Mormon temple. So the Mormon who believes the Mormonism now has to take these doctrines outside of the Book of Mormon and the Bible. There is nothing like that. There just isn't any marriage in heaven. There's never taught there in the Bible nor in the Book of Mormon. That's all I can say.
That's right. And besides, the story that they were telling, that Jesus was telling, was that this woman had been married seven times. And still, you know, they say you have to get married here in order to be married there, because they don't do the marriage there. But that woman had been married seven times here. So what temple was she married in?
Well, yeah, there were no temple there were no marriages done in the temple in Jerusalem.
Right.
And besides, Jesus said that you err because you don't know the scriptures. She wasn't anybody's wife in heaven. That's what,
like,
you know,
exactly,
she should have,
right,
she should have been at least wife of one of the, mm-hmm, seven husbands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Okay, Anne, did that help you?
It does. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, line one, we have Bridget from Midvale. Hello, Bridget.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air. What's your question? Hello?
Oh, hello, I apologize.
Uh-huh, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
It wasn't really a question, it was a statement.
Okay.
And I've asked people about this. It's the last page of the Bible, Revelation 22, uh-huh. 18 and 19.
Uh-huh.
And I've always wondered this about the Mormon religion. I'm quoting 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book."
Mm-hmm.
19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away from his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy, take him out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book."
Right.
And I have had missionaries come to my house and ask, you know, show them the last page of the Bible, whereas asking them, Joseph Smith can't add, can't take away, so can you please explain that to me? And I never can get an answer. So that was just making
comments. Do you have an answer for them, Brownie?
Well, Joseph Smith did a lot of things. You know, if you even look at his translation of the so-called translation of the Bible, he added to almost every book in a Bible and took some away. Mm-hmm. And even there's even changes he made into the book of Revelation. I have often had Mormons tell me, since we have been in this teaching ministry, that what the Bible means that into that particular book you can't add, you know, because the Bible is 66 books. They say that it means that for that into that particular book you can't add or take away. Mm-hmm. But Joseph Smith did that too. He added into the Bible. He took away things even from the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm,
so
he did.
Yeah.
And I went through the book of Revelation verse by verse to see where he made changes in his version, and he definitely did that. And they also will bring up verses in Deuteronomy and Proverbs where there is a prohibition of adding to the words, and yet mm-hmm. we've got the whole Bible after Deuteronomy almost, you know? And so they say, that's their argument. Well, they said they're not to, and look, they did.
Yeah, what it really is, we have to understand that the Bible is a collection of 66 books. It's mm-hmm. a library, and each book has its, you know, you can't change the Word of God in that. And then after Jesus came, and after the salvation was secured for those who are believers, there was no more reason to write anymore.
Right.
It's all the information we need is in the Word of God.
Right. And 2 Peter tells us that, chapter 1. 2 Peter tells us that. So, Bridget, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Does that
help you? Actually, it does.
Okay.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you for calling. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, we have other callers. It looks like they're getting ready to come, but they're not ready yet. So let's go to the next doctrine that's not in the Book of Mormon. And this particularly grates on me, I guess, because of what they've done with Jesus in this one. And that's that Lucifer and Jesus are brothers.
Brothers, yes. Well, the Mormon, Joseph Smith, when he started teaching that God was once a man and a male, he at the same time started teaching the pre-existence and that we were all born to God and his many wives in the pre-existence. Jesus being the very eldest son and Lucifer, one of the next ones, even if not very next one.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of us, all human beings born under this world were born to God and his wives in a pre-existence, and we all came here on a time. Of course.
So that makes us brothers and sisters to Lucifer as well.
Absolutely.
Just as close as Jesus supposedly
uh-huh.
is.
Uh-huh. But then the Mormon leaders have from early on taught that there was a war in heaven, and then the Lucifer and his followers were cast out. But before that there was a selection of who will become a savior. Jesus was chosen by the council of gods to be the savior, and Lucifer and Jesus contended which one would be selected to be Milton Hunter in the Gospel Through Ages writes very clearly about that, how there was a contention between which one, and then Jesus was chosen to be the Savior, and that caused Lucifer to get very angry, and mm-hmm. and that was part of the
where we are now.
Yeah.
Again, blasphemy, but it's not in the Book of Mormon.
No, and it's definitely not in the Bible. Jesus is a God, one of the triune persons in a Godhood,
right.
who became a man. He didn't become a God like the Mormon Church teaches now, that Jesus later became a God. Mm-hmm. But then they also teach that the Holy Ghost is a brother, a spirit brother. Of all, which is very strange according to Mormon own doctrines, because you in order to become a God, you know, Mormon Church teaches that there's Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they are the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to become a God, you first have to be born into a human body and evolve into Godhood, going mm-hmm. through this, mm-hmm. die and be resurrected again, and all this. The Holy Ghost, how can Holy Ghost be God, even in the Mormon terms, because he still hasn't gone...
He hasn't had a body.
He hasn't been born into a human body mm-hmm. yet. And mm-hmm. there has been discussions among the Mormon leaders that will he ever, you know, and some say, yes, he will have to, because that's a requirement for Godhood.
And some of the polygamous leaders... claim that they are the Holy Ghost who has been born into.
Actually, there was a one time when Joseph Smith was claimed.
He claimed that
he was the Holy Ghost. You know, that he had.
I did read that. Yeah. Okay. Well, we've gone off the air question. How do you respond to LDS who believe their teachings are truth, but don't line up with the Bible? We respond to it with a show like this. And do you have?
Yes, that is absolutely right. We have to direct people back to the Bible, and what it says about God, who God is,
mm-hmm.
and who Jesus is, and how we are to be saved. And it is by the grace of God that we can be saved if we accept Jesus. That's how we become sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the only way, because it's interesting, because the Mormons believe that every person born in this world is the son, are the sons and daughters of God.
Right.
When the Bible says that we become God's children only through the new birth.
Only through being born again.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Accepting
right.
Jesus.
It's a tough one to try, and in fact, we can't get anyone to believe the Bible or believe what God says, but the Holy Spirit can, and so we work with the Bible because there is power in God's Word, and we pray for the people that we're working with, and just persevere with them in love and in truth. Line two, we have a call from Matt in Tooele. Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air, Matt. What's your question?
Hi, how are you tonight?
We're very good, thank you.
Good. I have a question for you, but I just wanted to let you know, first thing is I was a Mormon, and I was baptized in 89, and for the last maybe 5 years, I've had a co-worker planting the seed in me of Jesus.
Praise God.
And a month and a half ago, watching your program, I saw the light.
Oh, wow.
And,
praise God.
I've been going to a Christian church now for that month and a half, and I've given my soul and my heart to Jesus Christ.
Oh, good.
Oh, great.
All
Matt.
Because
Thank
of your
you.
Show.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that
is,
with us. That's awesome.
The comment
That's
you made sweet. About God, where the Mormons are teaching that God is a man, a mortal man, as far as I'm to understand as being a Christian, that when we talk about God, we're talking about Jesus, and to me, Jesus was a mortal man. He was a man like me. So, in some aspects, would that be true? As God being Jesus, would he be a man like me, or is it still different? Because, I mean, I know Jesus was born through Mary, but he still didn't have a father, right? It was like what they call it, a holy conception or something like that.
Well, he
is that
was
correct?
He was born through the supernatural conception that the Holy Spirit caused within Mary, who was a virgin.
Right.
Well, one thing, Matt, I'd like to tell you is that, say to you, is that Jesus is God who became a man, not man who became a God. So Jesus has always been God from forever to forever. He's never been less than God, but there was a time when he became a man so that he can die for us. He can take us sins and nail them to his cross, and those who come and believe in him will be saved. So he is forever now in a physical form. He's the only one that has a body of flesh and bones in heaven, but he has always been God.
Uh-huh.
It's not like the Mormon Church teaches that he became a God.
Right.
He always has been God. There was a time and place when he became a man through virgin birth. There was no man involved.
Matt, and to help back this up, what Rownie just said, go to your Bible in Philippians chapter 2 and read the first, I believe it'd be the first 7 or 8 or 10 verses that talks about the fact that he didn't think that the glory of God was something he had to hang on to, but he let go of it temporarily to come down here and become like one of us.
Okay,
so
yeah,
that
yeah.
might help you.
I understand that.
Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. That was great. And then just one more thing real quick is I was understanding, too, this guy at work was teaching me that part of the Book of Mormon, I can't remember which part of it, but it exactly to the Bible, word for word, and when it was translated, the Bible was being translated, there were some mistakes in there that I guess that they were fixing or whatever, and that the Book of Mormon had the same exact mistakes, that it was copied pretty much from the Bible. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, yes. There's a lot of things that are, you know, you can take even books in the Book of Mormon and compare them to the, like, for example, if you take Mosiah 14 in the Book of Mormon and compare that to the Isaiah 53, then you see that the italicized words have been taken from the Bible and put into the Book of Mormon when those italicized words were not in the original Hebrew text.
Right.
They're just translators' notes to make the language flow better. So we can see that it is definitely the biblical quotes are a copy directly from the King James Bible rather than from translated from the gold plates. That's that's one, you know, and throughout the Book of Mormon you find the same thing. And then, of course, when there were small translation errors in the Bible, even those were repeated in the Book of Mormon.
Right, and there's also some very bad timing where they've got the wrong years way off on, but we will
right.
get into that tonight.
Right.
Anyway, Matt, we hope this helps you.
That did. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Matt, and congratulations.
Right.
Welcome
Thank
to
you.
The
God
family. Good night.
Night.
Okay, we have line 1, Tara in Salt Lake City. Hello, Tara.
Yes.
You're
I'm calling Bridget's in response to Bridget's call.
Okay.
Because she was talking about adding to or taking away from the Book of Revelations. But the Book of Revelations isn't the last book in the Bible. It was placed there, but there were other books of the Bible that were written after the Revelations. So I thought that might help her.
Well, that's kind of splitting hairs at any rate. I don't know that really matters, simply because God has forbidden adding to his word, whether it's the Book of Revelation or the Book of Proverbs or the Book of Deuteronomy or any of the others. He's forbidden that we add to his word or take away from it. Does that help?
Oh, I know that. I was just making a comment so she might understand
oh,
it better.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, I hope that does help her, Tara. Thank you.
Bye.
Uh-huh, bye. Okay, off the air question. were things written in the Doctrine and Covenants, new revelations to Joseph Smith that were not in the Book of Mormon. Claimed, yeah. but still, well, that doesn't deny the fact that they claim the Book of Mormon was the most perfect book on the planet.
Well, and of course, you know, it says that were things written in a Doctrine and Covenants, new revelation, that were not in a Book of Mormon. Actually, the whole book of Doctrine and Covenants, you don't find much anything in a Book of Mormon that what is found in a Doctrine and Covenants.
And much of it contradicts what the Book of Mormon teaches.
Absolutely. Joseph Smith had even forgotten what he wrote in the Book of Mormon, and he denied those things. Like, for example,
that's why you said that Joseph Smith doesn't believe in the Book of Mormon.
Right. He changed the things that he had taught in the Book of Mormon. You know, of course, it's a big thing, this Book of Mormon thing. You know, we could go on for hours on that, you know, to see how contradictive it is mm-hmm. to the Mormon doctrine today.
Well, maybe we should do a show where we do the contradictions between the Doctrine and Covenants and the Book of Mormon.
Absolutely. Well, that really would be a show.
If you're willing, I am. Okay. Is there any physical evidence for the Book of Mormon as there are for the Bible cities and the people?
Simple answer, no.
None.
Not one thing. One single physical evidence.
Not one. They say there is. They say they're digging things up and they say, oh, this indicates this and this indicates that. But there's not one.
No, they have been very famous as saying when something is dug up in South America or Mexico or Guatemala that this may be it. But then when it is examined, when it finally is examined thoroughly, then they have to admit that it wasn't. It was from a totally different time period, didn't fit into the Book of Mormon. What the Book of Mormon tells us a story, it doesn't fit. What the Book of Mormon really fits in is what it is taken from the Bible, has taken from mainly from the View of the Hebrews, which was a novel written by Ethan Smith, mm-hmm. who happened to be the minister of Oliver Cowdery's family. Mm-hmm. You know, he wrote the novel that had the very same storyline as the Book of Mormon, but then Book of Mormon also has from the Bible, which Ethan Smith's book also had flood from the Bible because he was written by the minister mm-hmm. who okay. Knew a lot of it. There's a lot of from Isaiah and so forth.
Yeah.
So for that, I would recommend a book, Studies of the Book of Mormon by B.H. Roberts.
Okay. Studies of the Book of Mormon by B.H. Roberts. Now, I don't want to get in too deep here with what I'm going to say, okay? So, but you mentioned about some of the things that they find, and then they study them and decide and discover that they really are not part of the Book of Mormon history. What about these tours? Book of Mormon tours. Let's take you to the Book of Mormon lands. Yeah. And people actually believe they're going to historical tours, and they're not.
They're not, yeah. They're just making some money with taking people to the tours. That's all. Tour guides are making some money.
Yeah, they are. You know, and they're not sanctioned by the LDS Church, by the way.
No, no. Yeah, the Mormon Church really doesn't take a stand on. If they really found something that they could try to say that it is an evidence, you would hear it from the headquarters of the Mormon Church.
Yeah, right. Okay, we've got to quickly take a call from John in Lewiston on line 2. Hello, John.
Yeah?
Yes, you're on the air.
All right.
Okay, we only got to have a couple of minutes, so can you hurry through with it?
You bet. Doris? Okay. I wanted to let you know that we are from the Grace Fellowship Church up in Preston, Idaho. We got to meet you.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hello.
It's good to talk to you.
We really enjoyed that. My question is, my wife and I met a couple of Mormon missionaries here a few weeks ago, and we had a discussion with them. We are certainly Christians, and we informed them as to all the changes that have occurred to the Book of Mormon over all the years. And it seems to me like there's been 4,000 changes or so. Is that correct?
Yes. Changes, additions, deletions, or changes that have been made to the Book of Mormon, yes.
Right, and they have been doing those.
Well, they says that, you know, the Book of Mormon has never been changed. And I would like to be able to direct them to where they could be informed to this. And is there anything
on your website?
Tell them of the changes?
Okay, what you can suggest, and it can be done, is you can suggest that they go and buy from the Mormon bookstore the 1830 version, the first edition version of the Book of Mormon, and take today's Book of Mormon and compare, and they can see for themselves how many changes, all those 4,000 changes. And some of them, yes, it's given. Some of them are grammatical, and some of them are spelling errors, but lots and lots of them are doctrinal changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, does that help?
It does, and I tell you what, we watch the show every week, and we enjoy it a whole lot, and keep it going, Doris.
Thank you, John. I sure do appreciate it. Good night.
Bye.
Well, we've got to close up the show, Rowney. Thank you for coming. It's been a pleasure. It's been very educational, and I hope
for
our viewers as well. And I'd like to close this show tonight by asking you, in your expression of your religious beliefs, who or what do you lift up? Do you lift up me or us, or do you lift up my Bible or my book or my prophet or my church, or do you lift up the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? You know, no one gets to heaven through any of the works that they do. That would be the lifting up or the behold me part. And nobody gets to heaven through any prophet or any other person except Jesus Christ himself. And only the Bible has been validated by God. No church or polygamy group is the one true church or the only true church. And entrance into eternal glory is only through the Lamb of God. He is the one who paid the price. Salvation is a gift, and it was at a very high cost, the blood and the life of the Lamb of God. When the Book of Mormon, or polygamy, or Joseph Smith, or any other thing, or person, or works, becomes part of a list of necessary requirements for anybody to get into eternal glory, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins is rejected, and anyone who rejects Jesus will not be able to live with him for eternity. You need to check things out. Check out what you believe. If you don't check them out, you may spend a long, long time in eternity suffering for what you should have known. There's a parable in the Bible where the man tried to get into the wedding banquet and he wasn't authorized. And Jesus said, take that man and tie him and throw him out into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't let that happen to you because you didn't check it out. Thanks for watching our show tonight. See you next week.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.